Well, good morning, church. How are we all? All okay? Good. Before I start, I'm just going to talk to you about something which happened this week. So I'm a teacher, so I'm very very grateful for the fact that we're now on our summer holidays, and I'm ahead of year as well, and I'm also very glad to get rid of my year nines for 6 weeks. We had a celebration evening on Wednesday. Absolutely lovely evening, recognising all the successes of the students. And I have a colleague at work I'm very good friends with, and he said afterwards, Hayden, do you mind if I come over to yours and play FIFA for a little bit? And for those who don't know, FIFA is a football video game. Yes, I do still play video games at the ripe old age of 26. Hannah, my wife, was at home, and she was getting dinner and stuff sorted for us while I was out. So I had to phone my wife, much as a 7-year-old might phone their parents, and say, Hannah, do you mind if my friend comes over and plays FIFA with us this evening? And what made it even worse was that on the other side of the road, as I was walking home, were two Year 10 students who overheard my phone call. And as the phone call went on, were in fits of hysterics, then called across the road, Mr. Lavender, who on earth were you on the phone to then? I replied, my wife, and they found that even funnier. That got me thinking about my childhood. And when I was younger, I was fortunate enough to visit France for a long weekend, for a number of years in a row. And we did it to do our Christmas shopping. So at the school I went to, we would have inset days where the staff were in and students weren't, on a Friday and a Monday, so we had a 4-day weekend. So what that meant is we, on the Thursday night, as soon as we'd finished school and my parents had finished work, we would drive town to Dover, and we would get on the Channel Tunnel to get over to France. Has anybody else here used the Channel Tunnel at all before? A few of us? I've got a photo, if you wouldn't mind popping it on, Mark, of the Channel Tunnel. The title is Tunnel Vision, hence talking about tunnels. So this is the Channel Tunnel, the Euro Tunnel, as it's sometimes called. And it goes from Dover in the southeast of England all the way to Calais in the north of France. So it goes under the English Channel. Now, as a child, I was completely fascinated by the fact that there was literally a tunnel which went under the sea and connected two different countries. I promise this does have a link to the scripture in a minute as well. Now, I did some research about these tunnels, and the Channel Tunnel here is only actually the third longest railway tunnel in the world. So it's just over 50 kilometres long, so just over 30 miles. But there are two tunnels which are bigger, which are on the next slide. So the second biggest is the Seikan Tunnel, which for those of you who like trains as well will probably recognise that is in Japan. And that one is about 2 miles longer than the Euro Tunnel, only to be beaten by the Gotthard Base Tunnel, which, again, you can see by the scenery, is actually in the Swiss Alps and quite literally goes underneath a mountain. Now, the thing that all these tunnels have in common, and any tunnel for that matter, is that they only lead to one place. It's got a start, it's got an end, but when you've got into the tunnel, you know exactly where you're going to come out. It's not like driving around on the roads. Now, we have a game that my wife and I sometimes play, which is, as a geography teacher, when we drive somewhere, I then say, right, let's have a no maps time on the way back and see if I can get back without using Google Maps. And it's had varying levels of success, because on the roads, there are so many different ways that you can turn. There are distractions that can take place, which take you off journey from where you're trying to end up. But with these tunnels, they always end where they're designed to end. So, let's focus back on the scripture, and then I'll talk to you about how these tunnels link to what I want to speak about today. So I'm just going to reread Psalm 135 and just focus on verse 15 to 18. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So it says, "The idols of the nation are merely things of silver and gold shaped by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, and eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, and mouths but cannot breathe. And those who make idols are just like them, as are all who trust in them." So the focus of my message today is reflecting on who or what we are truly worshipping. Are we truly worshipping God, or have we made idols within our life which actually have distracted us or have derailed us, to use the tunnel analogy? Okay? And I think sometimes there's going to be some challenge within this, because we have to identify things within our lives which maybe we've allowed to be a priority instead of God. Now, the reason I wanted to focus on idols and worshipping idols is because it's a really important theme in the Bible. So I did a little bit of research, and the word idol, or its different varieties, are used over 115 times within the Bible. And there are over 200 verses which focus on the kind of concept and the idea of idolatry. So if something is spoken about over 200 times in the Bible, it's probably something which is worth us digging into a little bit deeper. Now, I've mentioned there's loads of verses. I promise I won't read all 200, but I am going to read a couple more of them. The first of which is right towards the beginning of the Bible, in Exodus, chapter 20, verse 3 to 4. And it says, "You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in the heavens, or on the earth, or in the sea." Very clear message. And then another example is in Colossians 3, verse 5. And in that, Paul writes, "So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires." And here's the bit to focus on. "Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world." Now, the thing with Colossians in particular, just to give you a bit of context to that book, is that Colossians is a letter of encouragement, which was written by Paul. But what separates it from some of his other letters is it was actually written to a church that he didn't start, and to a congregation that he hadn't met. So in many ways, we can think of it as being very relevant to us, as a church which Paul didn't directly start, and as a group of people who Paul hasn't met. So this verse in particular is one that I think is a real encouragement. And it's clear to me, based on all of these things, that not worshipping idols and focusing on worshipping only God is something that God really wants us to take note of. Some of the things are going to be a challenge and are going to be hard-hitting, because when we focus on who or what we're truly worshipping, almost all of us are going to have a hard think and maybe change something in the way that we live. But what I strongly believe, as we go on to unpack this more, is that any changes we need to make to the way that we live after today are things which are going to bring us closer to God and help us to live in a way that honours him more. So, what idols do you have in your life? Well, before we answer this, it's worth me clarifying what I actually mean by an idol. Because in the original passage in Psalms, it's talking about, you know, these things of silver and gold, these physical idols that were created for people to worship in place of God. Now, I'm sure we can all agree that our number one priority in life should be God. There's a reason that we're sat in this room, which is either because we've already made that decision that God should be our number one priority, or we're on a journey to recognizing that actually we need to shift our priorities and invite God into our lives. And in this context, my belief is that an idol is anything in our lives that we prioritize ahead of God. Anything which takes the place of God as that number one priority in our lives. So the world we live in is almost like a breeding ground for these idols. We've had the rapid rise of social media, of influencers. I mean, even when I was young, which wasn't that long ago, the idea of an influencer and being a job was completely unheard of. But also, I think society in general has become a society of selfishness, of always thinking about how we can benefit and better ourselves without thinking about the impact we have on others. Now, that's a generalization, and there are so many examples of people who do the opposite of that, but that seems to be the direction that society has gone in. And all of these different things, threatened to derail and distract us from worshipping God alone. And that's why my title is Tunnel Vision, because I believe that our worship needs to have that tunnel vision, to focus on God alone, where God is the destination of our worship, is the only thing that we worship. And that's what we're going to unpick a bit more. Because other things that we maybe sometimes worship could be money. And earning money could be the priority in the things that we do. Linked to that could be our career. For those of us who are still working, it might be that trying to advance in your career is the one thing that you prioritize over everything in life. It could be possessions. It could be trying to get the next best car, a slightly bigger house, the latest designer clothes could be the thing that we always want to get. There's other things which are good things which we can put in God's place. Our spouse, our children, things which are amazing, but things which still aren't designed to be our number one priority, because our number one priority should always be God. You know, we need to prioritize careers so that we can earn money, because we can't survive in society without money. Our homes are important to us because not only are they a place of shelter, but also they're a place of hospitality, and we're called to be hospitable. That's something the Bible tells us. Prioritizing our spouse or our partner is important because the Bible calls us to build strong and healthy marriages. And we can't do that without prioritizing our spouse. And prioritizing children is important because we want to raise children who can establish themselves and understand their place in the world. So all of that is important, but none of those things should take the place of God as our number one priority. There's a book from an author called Tim Keller. So he's quite a well-renowned Christian speaker and author. And he's created a book called Counterfeit Gods, which is all about idols. And within that book, and this is what I'm going to talk through now, and there's a bit of a summary table, which I'm going to work through, which will be up on the screen. And he says there are four root idols. They are comfort, approval, control, and power. So all of those things that I've mentioned in some way link to one of these four, is what he suggests. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look through each of these in turn, and I'm going to have a look at what they are, I'm going to look at why they go unrecognized in our lives, but also some of the impacts it can have on us and the people around us, and why it is counterfeit to the gospel. So if you go onto the table for me, please, Mark, and we're going to talk through this. Now, it's a little bit small, but I am going to read through each of them anyway. It's just a bit of a summary. So the first of these root idols is comfort. So comfort is this craving for pleasure, for ease, and for stress-free environments. Okay? Again, all things which are good. But as you can see in the second column, in the first proper column, we can not recognize it because sometimes it looks like we're just being laid back. It looks like we're just being easygoing. But what it can manifest in these kind of like surface idols, in the things we might actually see, is we might excessively watch entertainment or game. We might overeat and overdrink. We might avoid any responsibility. We might become lazy and disguise it as being rest because we want to be comfortable. But those who struggle with this root idol of comfort will often end up being unproductive, okay, because they're so focused on their comfort. And for these people, if they've got a demand placed on them or any kind of stress, that is their worst nightmare. These people quite often face boredom and can sometimes, because of their focus on their own comfort, can actually make the people around them feel quite hurt or neglected. And the reason that Tim Keller describes this as being a counterfeit god, okay, or an idol, a root idol, is because actually, in Christ, we have complete peace. So we don't need to strive to get that comfort in our lives. We don't need to be doing things all the time and focusing on things all the time which make us feel comfortable. Because all of our comfort, all of our peace should come from Christ. And that's the reason that comfort can be one of these root idols. So the second one along that second row is approval. So this could also be known as affirmation. It's that hunger for acceptance and for being liked. It might appear in life as being particularly likeable or kind of over-friendliness, but actually what it can lead to is a complete lack of independence. Okay, it can lead to constantly seeking approval from others. So those kind of surface idols that this might link to could be excessive people-pleasing, social media validation, one of those ones I talked to you before. You know, I remember when I was younger, and when I was a teenager, first on social media, my complete focus would be, if I posted something on Facebook, I'd be checking back every 5-10 minutes, right, how many people have liked it now? How many people have liked it now? Because our culture, the idea of likes and follows and things on social media is to try and feed this root idol of approval, that desperate need to feel approved by others. But it might also be to do with like an obsession on appearance or body image, or overly focusing on our romantic relationships because we need to try and get that validation and that approval from the people around us. Now, for these people, the worst nightmare is rejection. It would be me logging on and realizing that nobody else has liked that post since I last logged on a few minutes ago and feeling deflated because of it. But it can then lead to emotional problems like cowardice to try and avoid that rejection in the first place. And what it also leads to is that people around somebody who struggles with this idea of approval can actually quite feel smothered almost because of that constant need for acceptance. But the reality is that becomes an idol in our lives because it goes against the truth that God's love is completely perfect and unconditional. And people who struggle with that idol of approval are just trying to seek that from earthly sources when actually it's God's love which is completely unconditional. And we don't need anything apart from the love of God to be able to feel that approval. There's nothing else that we can do. If people give us approval, it will fade in an instant. But God's love is completely unconditional. So the third root idol then is control. This is the desire to have everything go according to a plan. Now, it can often go as unrecognized because we see it as being competent. We see our planning as being a thing which just means actually we're just doing a good job. But it can quite often lead to us feeling lonely or having a lack of spontaneity. And there's a few ways it might manifest itself as those like surface idols as such. It could be perfectionism. It could be micromanaging other people, including our children, perhaps. Trying to control everything that our children do, which I'm sure those of you with children know, you cannot control everything that a child does, no matter how hard you try. I certainly know that with my year nines in school. But also it could be being obsessed with routines and you know having anxiety when those plans are disrupted. And I was a bit like this as a child. So my parents would often, you know, plan things for us to do, and they'd be absolutely lovely. But as a child, I liked to be in control of things. I still do now, but I think I'm getting a little bit better at it. But, you know, they would plan. I'll try and use a local example. I grew up in Gloucester, so you wouldn't understand the Gloucester links. But say they'd plan an afternoon out to Conkers. And they told me the previous day, right, we're going to go to Conkers for the afternoon. And I thought, right, that's absolutely lovely. And then on the morning, they decided, actually, we're going to go to Alton Towers instead. Now, from my perspective, Alton Towers is a big upgrade on Conkers, don't get me wrong. But I would have an absolute meltdown because it changed the plan. I wasn't in control of what was happening because that became my complete focus. Now, if people struggle with control, their worst nightmare is all to do with that uncertainty, about not knowing what's coming next. And it can quite often lead to people feeling anxious if those plans change. But actually, if you've got that complete focus and that desire for control, it can quite often lead to people around you feeling condemned or judged or offended. Now, the gospel truth that this kind of counterfeits, as Tim Keller would describe it, is God's blessings. because we don't have any control over the blessings that God gives us. We don't have any control over the plan that God has for our lives, because that plan existed before we were even born. And we have to recognize that, you know, God's blessings don't come according to a schedule. That we don't control, we don't earn God's blessing. We don't have control over that. The final root idol then is power. This, I think, is the one which is most prevalent in society at the moment. This is the one that kind of links to the money, the career, and that selfishness that I mentioned before. Because it's this longing for influence, this longing for recognition. Now, it can sometimes go unrecognized, because we often brush it off as being confident. But actually, if it goes unrecognized, we can feel burdened, and we can feel that sense of almost overwhelming responsibility. Now, the things that if you have this root idol of power that might manifest in you is this constant need to win or to be successful. It could be that need, like I mentioned earlier, to climb the career ladder really quickly. It could be to be academically the best that you can be so that you're better than other people. And it's that constant need to be better than the people around us. And I think that's something, you know, I said earlier that society now is like a breeding ground for these idols. And for me, I think that's the number one reason, personally, is because we're so focused on the self. We're so focused on what we can do to make ourselves better, to make more money, that actually we focus too much on the power, and that can derail us from our tunnel vision towards worshipping God. Now, for those with the root idol of power, the worst nightmare is being humiliated. They can often struggle with anger. But that can also have a detrimental impact on the people around us, because if we focus so much on the power and focus on ourselves, it can make the people around us feel used or manipulated. And this root idol goes against that gospel truth of righteousness, because, like, you know, God's righteousness teaches us that we can't be made right with God by our own works or by our own power, but that it's only because of God's grace that we can live that righteous life. Whereas actually, when we struggle with this root idol of power, we try and do it all ourselves. We try and think that actually, if I can just get into this position of influence, then I'll have made it. If I can just get to this point in my career, then I'll have made it. But we never end up actually being satisfied. So all these kind of like the four root idols and all those surface idols that I've spoken about are those things which can derail us, can distract us from our true purpose, which is for our worship to have that tunnel vision towards God, to keep him as our number one priority and to worship him alone. So I'm going to talk to you about a couple of practical ways that you can think about whether there are any idols in your life. Okay, and they're also just going to come up on the screen. Now, I'm not actually going to ask anybody to show me their bank account or their calendar, okay? But there are two principles we can use to figure out where our priorities lie. So the first statement, show me your bank statement and I'll show you your priorities. Now, what I'm not going to say is you should be giving more money to the church than you spend on anything else, because bills are expensive, mortgages are flipping expensive, and if you did that, you wouldn't have any money left, and that wouldn't be good stewardship of your income. But if you were to look at your bank statement, what would it tell? Because there are certain things we can control. And if your bank statement says that you spend more money on KFC and McDonald's in a month than you give to the church, then perhaps your priorities are in the wrong place. So have a think about that. What story, if you looked at your bank statement, would it tell? Would it tell that God is your number one priority? Or would it tell that there are other things that are potentially distracting you from that focus on God? Then the second one, show me your calendar and I'll show you your priorities. Now, I want you to imagine that in your daily calendar, you just put every single thing that you were doing from the moment you woke up to the moment that you went to sleep. From watching TV, to seeing friends, to taking children on a play date, to going to work, to spending time reading the Bible, to spending time praying. And I wonder how much of your day would actually be taken by focusing on God. I said it was going to be a challenge, didn't I? because I feel like I've got myself in quite a good routine, because actually, you know, I wake up and one of the first things I do in the morning once I've made a coffee is to sit down and do my devotion before I start doing some work at home. But I can also quite quickly find myself reading for 15 minutes, writing a couple of notes down, saying a quick prayer, and then not thinking about God for the rest of the day. And if I then looked at that, I feel like I've ticked a box because I've done my devotion. I focused on God this morning, but for my, you know, 18 hours awake in a day, I've given God 15 minutes. Doesn't sound quite right, does it? Okay, and I think it's a reality that most of us have, is that we make life so busy that actually we sometimes forget that we need to focus on God. So I know that's quite a lot of information. And the one thing that I haven't touched on is actually, why do we worship God alone? Because that's something that is common in all of these Bible verses which say about not having these idols, is because we need to worship God alone. Because God should be our number one priority. So we should worship God because only He is truly worthy. Only He is eternal, and only He is life-giving. All idols, whether they stem from power, from approval, from comfort, or from control, promise short-term fulfillment, but ultimately they leave us empty. Those likes on social media were great. They made me feel great at the time, but as soon as they stopped, I felt empty. Because the thing is, God satisfies the deepest needs of our hearts, and He does that without destroying us in the process. Whereas all these idols that we can sometimes focus on satisfy our, you know, they scratch the itch, but they don't actually satisfy our deepest desires. Because God created us, He loves us perfectly, and He sent His Son to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be set free. So our worship, having tunnel vision for God and God alone, is what brings us true freedom, true joy, and true purpose. It gives us everything which idols pretend to offer us, but never actually can. So put simply, our worship needs to have tunnel vision to God, so that we're not derailed by those earthly things that surround us. And if I could summarize that whole message in one sentence, that's exactly what it would be. The light at the end of that tunnel that I've used on the screen is our worship going straight towards God. It's not being derailed by any of those different things that I've mentioned. And as part of the response to that, I wanted to do something practical. So on your seats, you had some paper, and there's some a couple of pens or pencils underneath the chairs. And what I want you to do is just to take a little bit of time to think about an idol that maybe you've got in your life. It may be that you recognize one of those root idols. And Mark, would you be okay just to put the list of those four, just the list of the four back onto the screen for people, please? It might be that you recognize one of those. You might think, actually, everything I do in life, my number one priority is to be comfortable, or is to seek approval, is to have control, is to be in power. Or actually, it might be that you recognize it's one of those surface things. It may be that you're prioritizing your career. It may be you're prioritizing your children too much. And what I'd like you to do is just to write that on your piece of paper. And then for those of you who are able, I want us to physically respond to this. And I'm going to pop a little bin at the front. And when you've written that down, I'd like you, if you're able to come up to the front, tear the paper in half, screw it up, and just show that actually you are committing to removing that idol from your life. Okay? Not completely, don't remove your children. But, you know, to focus on moving them away from that number one spot in your life. And you throwing it into the bin is just that demonstration that actually you're surrendering that and you're committing to God being your number one priority. So I'll pop the box at the front. If you're not able to get up and do that, that's absolutely fine. What I'll also do is to pop a box or a bucket at each of the doors, so that as you leave today, you can do that and you don't miss out on the physical demonstration of that as well. So we're going to spend a few minutes doing that now, and then I'll come up and pray to close before we finish off. Father God, we thank you for our time here this morning, Lord. We thank you that we can come here freely, without persecution, without judgment, Father God, so that we can come to turn our attention to you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to remove any of the other idols that we've put into our lives, Lord. You would help us to get our priorities right. That you would help us to still prioritize the important things in our life, Lord, but that you would ensure that they never take your place as the number one in our lives. And Lord, comfort us that when we turn our attention to you, when we put our priorities on you, Lord, that you will support us in making everything else just keep ticking along, Lord God. Because we know that you don't forget us, Lord. We know you know every detail about our lives. And we pray that you would just help us to come back to the heart of worship. To come back to having tunnel vision for you, Lord. And not being derailed or distracted by the other idols that we can sometimes put in our lives. Amen.